We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that we don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist.
There will be enormous consequences if he were to go in and invade as he could.
He's got cognitive issues. He's not fit to be our head of state.
We had to make sure that our embassy families were safe.
There is a clear line that runs throughout our administration's work.
This administration's been very clear on how weak they are.
Oh, yeah. And Biden said, oh, we did a great job.
Hello, it's Nancy. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you.
Yes, indeed. She's not going anywhere anytime soon. You can rest assured of that. Unfortunately, Nancy is going to be around for re-election. How does that go down with your eggs and coffee this morning? Sorry about that. Unfortunately, that is the world we live in. Hey, welcome into the show. We are so happy you chose to spend your Wednesday morning with us. It's a little chilly out there. We've been having some fun this morning, kind of warm you up, I hope. And we got lots to talk about. There's a lot going on in the world. This Ukraine thing keeps developing. Yeah, I loved how the network news couched this yesterday. During an impromptu visit to a gift shop, President Biden had this to say about the face-off with Russia. That's how CBS reported the story. He went to a gift shop and bought a Kamala Harris mug and was holding it in his hand while he briefed the world on what they're going to do about Vladimir Putin. Go to cut six, Carl, please.
Ever see yourself personally sanctioning him if he did invade Ukraine?
Yes.
You would?
I would see that.
I don't know. That doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me. And for some reason, I don't see it inspiring much fear in the heart of the bare-chested president of Russia. When I think of Vladimir Putin, that's the image that comes to mind, is him riding that horse bare-chested that time. I don't know why, but that's the image that has kind of lodged in my brain. So we'll keep you up to date on that if anything breaks, but I don't know if that's going to happen today or not. We're sending 8,500 American troops to Europe, right? We're not sending them to the Ukraine border, mind you, but we're sending 8,500 troops. Now, Tucker Carlson made a good point about this last night. He said, you know, you might ask yourself, speaking of invasions, how many troops have we sent to our southern border? Right? Because Vladimir Putin's got 100,000 troops massed on the border of Ukraine. How many troops has the U.S. sent to our southern border? And the answer to that, Tucker correctly points out, is zero. And the problem down there is a whole lot worse, and it's an unarmed invasion. Listen to this.
Customs and Border Protection just released the latest statistics on the invasion ongoing into this country. In the month of December, last month, the feds encountered close to 180,000 illegal immigrants, foreign nationals, whose identities we can't know, on the southwest border. Here, all living here now. How many people is that? Well, for perspective, that's more than the three previous Decembers combined. In the last calendar year, more than 2 million foreign nationals swept across the Mexican border unimpeded into this country and now live here. That's a lot of people, many times the population of Boston, Atlanta, Denver, pick a city, in 1 year. But you know what's more than? It's a lot more than the Russian army has massed on the Ukrainian border, something we're all hysterical about. And of course, it's not just people coming legally into this country. It's the drugs they are bringing.
Yeah. So to Tucker's point, we have ignored and encouraged in this administration the invasion that's coming across the southern border. Think about that. In 1 month, the number of people, I mean, equivalent to the size of Boston, have come into this country and moved slowly across the country to wherever they want to do. And we've completely ignored it. So I was happy to see that he pointed that out last night. Well done, as usual, Tucker Carlson. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to a senator, Dr. Bob Onder, of course, from St. Charles County, and he's been in Jeff City trying to work on redistricting. This is a situation that just blows my mind. And yesterday, they voted to move forward with this new redistricting map that is not beneficial to you if you are a conservative or a Republican. And yet they're going to go ahead and do it anyway with the help of a couple of Democrats. We're going to talk to Bob about that coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Let's get to Charmaine. Charmaine Yost joining us from Heritage, as she does each week, VP of the Institute of Family, Community, and Opportunity. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Is it as cold there as it is here? I think it's, what, 5 this morning? Is that what I think the temperature
Honestly,
is here?
Honestly, when you said it was chilly out, all of a sudden I just was a little disoriented because I was like, you know, we don't even live close to each other. But yeah, it's freezing. It's really cold.
Well, good. Well, stay warm out there. You know, I listened this morning. Oftentimes you and I talk about this because you live technically in Virginia. And when some Sears came out yesterday and talked about what we need to do in our schools and how we need to pay attention to what's happening in our schools more than anything else, I thought she made a really great point. I want to play that again here for the people.
But I think each side is fighting differently. We're fighting for the parents to have the right, the continued right, to decide for themselves where their children should go to school and how their children should be taught and what they should be taught. Imagine that. Whereas it seems that the other side is saying, give us your children and we will decide what's right for your children. Who is we? We didn't have these children. The child belongs to the parents, the people who had them, you know. And furthermore, the child's first teacher are the child's parents.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Sears. We appreciate that she's out there talking about this. I think it's going to be felt in every election across America, particularly this April here in Missouri. We're having a lot of school board elections.
Man, I'm telling you, she's such a rock star. You could play her every single week, and I couldn't get enough. I'm telling you, Mark, we are just ground zero here for the amazing wars that are going on over parents and schools, and it is intensifying here, like you would not believe. Yesterday or the day before. So I think you and I talked last week about how our new governor put out an executive order saying that parents had the right to choose whether or not their kids wore masks to school.
Right.
Well, Loudoun County responded by when some parents sent their kids to school without masks, they made them go to the auditorium, wouldn't let them go to class, and told them they just had to stay there until this all kind of weaves its way through the courts. So now the governor is fighting back and is in person going to go to schools to see how things are going. He's not backing down. Schools are not backing down. It's turning into a pretty big confrontation, actually.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. And here's the thing. So last week you and I may have even talked about this. I can't remember specifically. It's kind of a blur. But I do remember last week discussing the fact that in Michigan, the Democratic Party tweeted and then immediately erased, although nothing ever goes away on the internet, the fact that who are you? How dare you think as a parent you have a decision in this? And by the way, if you don't like what's going on in the public schools, the way we're running them, you had the choice of moving your child to a private school. Well, that's not true, because not everybody can afford to do that. And it's really, they're making the case for school choice, in my opinion. And I think a lot of people who maybe weren't awake to it before realize that now.
Well, I just think that they're losing a lot of their, you know, the holy grail of politics, rather, the independents in the middle. And I think that what's going on here is they're saying the quiet part out loud. And a lot of, you know, speaking of people who can't afford private school, as it turns out, a lot of educational bureaucrats can. And it is not uncommon, like we have here in Virginia, the superintendent of the Alexandria schools sends his kids to private school. You know, this is, and, you know, we see this all the time with politicians, right, on the left, who are out there enthralled to the education union. And they all send their kids to private school. The political fallout of this, I don't know when in my entire career, Mark, I've seen more tone deafness as they just kind of dig in with an anti-parent message.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, I don't know who that appeals to. And I just would love to be in the room when they're sitting around going, you know what we should do? Let's just go harder against parents. I mean, I would love to hear that conversation.
Dr. Charmaine Yost, our guest this morning. I love the fact that you've got an opinion piece from John Stossel, who's just one of the best investigative reporters in D.C. and just does such a great job in the Daily Signal. So dailysignal.com. You can go there and read about that school choice is one of the best antidotes to critical race theory, because at private schools, they listen to what the parents want, generally speaking, or the money walks. And that's the kind of pressure they need to feel in public schools as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. And frankly, it's interesting when you look at the polling data. People see it as kind of an elite-driven kind of issue, but it's the exact opposite is true. Because as you said, you know, people who are wealthy can make their choices, and it's people who don't have the resources, whose kids are trapped in failing schools and in schools the parents don't want them to be in. And, you know, we talk a lot at Heritage Foundation about just, you know, throwing it open and within state borders, just let people choose.
Yeah, well, I hope that they put, I know they're working on something similar here in Missouri this year in the legislature. It's always the progress is measured in inches on this, because the schools push back on it so much because they don't want competition. There's this belief that they shouldn't be bound to having to compete with anyone to create a better learning environment for your children. That's insane, in my opinion. This would immediately force changes in the way our public schools operate. They would have to, or they'd see that money transported to somebody who's doing it better.
Well, I don't know when, and it's interesting that this is turning out to be kind of a downstream effect of the pandemic, right? Because I don't know when I've seen mothers across the country as worked up as they are becoming, as schools are digging in and going harder on policies that are just really, really bad, particularly for younger kids. You know, the least vulnerable people are facing the most stringent pandemic kinds of effects. And, you know, a lot of moms out there they're seeing their kids struggle with having their faces covered in a learning environment, and they just don't like it. And it's politically a very, very potent issue.
Well, and I think we're going to see more of that. In fact, I mentioned this earlier, but I'll mention it again since we're on the subject right now. I am planning to put out a voter's guide for our spring elections here for April, because they're mostly school board elections, some municipal issues, I'm sure. But it's important that people understand there are going to be multiple people running, and not everybody's up front with their motives. You need to know what they stand for. And I'm going to put out a guide just letting people know who they need to be looking out for when they go to the – it can be overwhelming. If you go in there, eight people on your ballot, and you don't know any – and you've – and you're – you've waited till the last minute to go vote and you haven't done any homework, you're going to vote for the wrong people. I would vote almost against anybody with an I after their name based on how things have been handled in the greater St. Louis area the last year, for sure. You know, yesterday, Charmaine, I had a guest on who she's a local state rep. She went to Washington for the March for Life. I don't think she stayed around for the March Against Vaccine Mandates, but there's a great piece in the Daily Signal right now about the crossover there between the women who were marching for life and then hung around to march against vaccine mandates a couple days later.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting dynamic of seeing people mobilizing because, you know, particularly, I think there's a growing number of people like you and me. You and I have always been very pro-vaccine and telling people, you know, take a look at the data. You know, it's an amazing miracle of American medical innovation and is saving people's lives. But there are people who need to be able to make a decision not to have a vaccine. I was reading the other day, Mark, again, talking about political potency and having radicalizing some people. I was reading about a young person at a school who had an actual affidavit from their doctor saying that the doctor recommended that this person not get the vaccine, who don't know what the details are. And it doesn't matter
right. Because
at the end of the day, it should be between the student and their doctor, and the school would not accept it. And this kid is now looking at his college education going up in flames and or, you know, having to transfer somewhere else and all that's involved with that. You know, it's just the radicalization of around these issues and how far the left is willing to push this is why this is becoming such an issue.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it a lot and we'll continue to discuss how this impacts people. One story I want to get to before we run out of time here is we've kicked it around a few times on here, and it's this problem with, women's sports being impacted by men who are transitioning to be women. And the swimmer in Pennsylvania is the most obvious example of what we've all been talking about. But yesterday, a male transsexual who goes by the name of Karina Koh sort of tore into the people who are, in his opinion or her opinion, attacking women's sports. Go to 13.
My testimony today is based on my personal opinion as a transsexual. That is, a person who was born male and used pharmaceuticals and plastic surgery to feminize my body so that I appear to be a woman. Despite having these procedures, my sex is male, and neither science nor medicine can change that. I began this process as a teenager, and although my testosterone levels have been in the female range for nearly 30 years, male puberty has endowed me with physical advantages such as height, bone structure, and increased lung capacity. For example, I stand at 5'10", which puts me in the 99th percentile for women's height. I am just an inch shorter than the female athletes who play in the WNBA. The average male height is 5 inches taller than the average female's. Banning males from participating in women's and girls' sports would be justified on this basis alone.
Yeah, Karina was testifying in Indiana to state lawmakers where they're debating this same issue. I mean, something's got to be done beyond the weak-kneed approach the NCAA took to this.
You know, wasn't that refreshing to hear that testimony? Because that's just a very common-sense approach. You know, the whole question of transgender, why does it have to be pushed all the way to female sports, right? In terms of, you know, it is destroying the ability for young female athletes to have the ability to compete fairly on an even playing field.
Yes.
You know, I thought that testimony was interesting. I imagine I'm not the only person who didn't know that 5'10" is that tall for a girl. And but for a male athlete, that's pretty common. And I, you know, this is just some really basic foundational kind of science science that we're dealing with. And, you know, one thing you and I keep coming back to is, you know, where's the party of science on this? They're just throwing it out the window. And, you know, again, going back to this kind of actually ties into where we started today, talking about parents. Parents are the ones who are really driving this issue in terms of pushing back, because you've got these moms and dads out there who've seen their daughters who are athletes invest, you know, so much of their time, effort, and passion into a sport, and then end up, you know, having to compete against somebody who's biologically male.
They get marginalized. Dr. Charmaine Yost with Heritage, thank you.
Great to be with you.
Always an honor to have you on. We appreciate that. Coming up, we'll talk to Senator Bob Onder about redistricting. Looks like the fix is in Jeff City. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good music this morning, Carl. Thank you for that. Yeah. You know, earlier we were talking about the guy that voiced over Charlie Brown many years ago passed away.
Yes.
65?
Mm-hmm. 65.
Whenever I think of Charlie Brown, I think of him holding Lucy holding that football and him trying to kick it, and it gets pulled away every time, and he lands flat of his back. Sometimes as a Republican in the state of Missouri, I identify with that. Far more often than I would like to think. We, as conservatives, are Charlie Brown laying on the ground looking up, and other Republicans who claim to be conservatives are Lucy holding the ball laughing at us because we fall for it every time. That's kind of how I feel sometimes. I've got Missouri Senator Bob Onder on the phone right now. Bob, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, I see this article, Post pushes it out yesterday, bipartisan coalition keeps 6-2 congressional map alive in the Missouri Senate. This thing would have died yesterday if not for the support of a couple of Democrats who, not surprisingly, like this map.
Well, that's right. That's right. While nationally the Democrats are aggressively redistricting, writing the new congressional maps, to favor their own party, Illinois, California, New York, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, just to name a few. Just across the river in Illinois, the Democrats are going to write two Republican congressmen out of their seats. In the meantime, our House and Senate so-called leadership have gone out of their way to make sure that Nancy Pelosi has 1 to 2 more seats in Congress in 2023. They have bent over backwards to preserve a very liberal Democrat Emanuel Cleaver's seat in Kansas City. And then they are making Congresswoman Ann Wagner's seat in St. Louis and St. Charles County very weak, purple, such that it will almost undoubtedly flip to a Democrat control, probably in the next couple of cycles. And certainly when Ann Wagner retires, there won't be a chance in the world for a Republican to keep that seat. So I've been calling this the Pelosi map. I've also been calling it the Rhino sellout map. And, you know, a real startling revelation yesterday or the last 48 hours, a couple of things. Number one, you know, what are we afraid of? Oh, we're afraid of lawsuits. Yesterday, Dan Shaul, who's in your listening area down in Jefferson County, is running for Senate. He admitted that a big part of their fear and drawing the Rhino Pelosi map was Eric Holder's congressional redistricting Democrat congressional redistricting committee. Eric Holder, as you remember, was Barack Obama's attorney general.
Right.
And the other is that the consultants drawing this map have been both on the payroll of Palm Strategies, which have received over $500,000 from Blaine Lukemeyer recently, and at the same time on the payroll of Caleb Rowden, the majority floor leader. Unfortunately, it smells really bad.
Yeah.
And it's produced a very, very bad product for our state.
Well, I mean, sadly, if I read this article correctly, it's not a surprise that these two Democrat senators from the Kansas City area voted in favor of it because it appears to strengthen Emanuel Cleaver's district. And we already know what Cori Bush's district is down here, right? It strengthens their existing seats, and yet still weakens the second.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It makes Emanuel Cleaver's seat, you know, Emanuel Cleaver has had some Republican challengers over the years. It hasn't been very close. But the Pelosi map gives Emanuel Cleaver a stronger seat, while, you know, Blaine Lukemeyer has a Republican plus 40 district. Ann Wagner has a purple seat that, you know, that she could lose, or certainly her successor could lose.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming now that this is out of committee, it's a done deal. The fix is in. I mean, at this point, is there anything left you guys can do in the Senate?
So I'll tell you, this map, substantially this map, minimal changes, was unveiled, guess what, on New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, let's hope no one's watching over the holiday weekend. And I asked Senator Burns Ketter, the Senate redistricting chair. I asked Dan Shaul, the architect of this you know, basically Democrat map. I asked the Speaker of the House, Rob Vescovo. It looks to me like the fix is in. Oh, no, it's just a starting point. There will be lots of opportunities for amendments. At this point, it looks like the Jeff City swamp is hell-bent on pushing this through come hell or high water. I think the one person your listeners can talk to is Senator Dave Schatz. He represents Chesterfield. He's the Senate pro tem.
Right.
He has influence over the product. Other than that, it looks like the fix is in. But, you know, I know some of us in the conservative caucus are going to fight this. This could be a very long, long and bitter debate.
Well, you know, they turn around and point the fingers at you and Nick Schroer and Bill Eigel of plugging up the system, and you're just going to throw this into court where we're going
to
lose.
No, it won't go to court.
Well, but
will,
right,
yeah.
That's what they're arguing, though, right? That this would end up in a court challenge.
Yeah. That is a lie made up to support their map. The only time in our state's history that courts have ever rewritten a map is when the legislature didn't pass anything at all. And there are really there have been a number of maps proposed by Representative Nick Shore, but proposed by Senator Bill Eigel, supported by me, that wouldn't be that hard, and we could have this map done by the end of the day if the Rhino establishment in Jeff City was willing to compromise. But they rather run over conservatives and sell out conservatives and Republicans in the state of Missouri rather than get their own not get the map that they and their consultants bought and paid for.
Yeah. I mean, that's another issue. I mean, who's pushing this?
Who's pushing this? Yeah, basically, this map was written by Senator Caleb Rowden, and the Senate Majority Leader, and his associates at Palm Strategies. Blaine Lukemire has paid him over $500,000 over the last couple of years. And lo and behold, this map favors Blaine Lukemire. It gives him a Republican plus 35 or 40 percent district and throws Congresswoman Ann Wagner under the bus. And it splits my own county of St. Charles County right in half. And it's coincidentally, Senator Eigel and I, the two founders of the Conservative Caucus, we represent St. Charles County. So the idea seemed to be throw the St. Louis metro area under the bus, shore up Senator Lukemire, and hurt the county represented by Bill and me.
So we're talking to Senator Bob Onder here. Bob, I have a question. Nobody's been able to answer this, and I'm going to try to get her on the air here to answer it herself. But I'm sure the people on this committee have had to have heard from Ann Wagner and the people whose districts are impacted by this.
Yeah.
Is she in support of this map? Do we know?
Well, she's tried to engage, and I would ask her. But it's my understanding that she thought the map drawers would be the legislators themselves in the Missouri Republican Party. And actually, it seems to be these couple of woke consultants in Columbia, Missouri, named Palm Strategies, who wrote the map for Senator Caleb Rowden, and again, who received large amounts of money from Congressman Blaine Lukemire. It really stinks to high heaven. I'm not quite saying that the FBI's official corruption unit ought to be looking into it, but I am saying it stinks.
Bob Onder, thank you for your bird dogging this. I mean, I don't know if we can make any changes or not, but I know you guys will give it your best shot. Thank you for that.
We will do our best. Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Senator Bob Onder there working hard in Jeff City, trying to bring some common sense to this show. I've tried to have everyone on this issue. Had Dan Shaw in here the other day. He's from the House side, one of the ones who put this together. We were supposed to have Caleb Rowden on this week. I guess it's possible that could still happen, to ask some of the questions that Bob Onder's raising there. But why would you pass a map that strengthens the Democrat seats in the state and potentially, if you buy Bob's argument here and what Bill Eigel's pointed out and Nick Schroer, weakens CD2 so that in a couple of years it's a purple or a blue seat? So nobody's explained that to me adequately yet. 314-241-9797. Next hour, Keith Antone's going to join us for the bottom line, and Stacy on the right at about 8:35. We'll be right back. All right. Very excited. Sammy Hagar is coming to town, as we talked about yesterday. Sometime in August, he'll be here, and I will be there. I'm already working on securing my tickets. So I'm very excited about that, Carl.
I don't think it'll sell out.
Of course it will. He always sells out here. Kidding me? Plus, he's got George Thorogood.
That actually will be fun.
It's going to be a great concert.
I might go.
Honestly, for people that are critics, or I don't know why they would be, but if they're critics and they've never seen Hagar live, you got to go watch him. He puts on an amazing show.
It will be the same show that he's done the last four times, but it will be fantastic.
It's fun, though, and I love the songs, right? Plus, it's half of Van Halen, and I get to listen to that music, too. It's great. Hey, let me get to Rich here on line one. Rich, good morning.
Good morning. I'm kind of embarrassed by my representative, Lukemire. He barely made a squeak when Jared Smith was killed in Afghanistan. I mean, he didn't ask for any reservations, as far as I know. Now he's selling out Ann Wagner's district. I wonder, I'm a lifelong Republican. My party, even when they win, they lose. The Democrats, even when they lose, they win because they're ruthless. And we're just weak, and my party is just weak spine and turns on each other. I'm embarrassed by it. And why is it? I'm just wondering why nobody's working the primary Luke DeMeyer. He's a disgrace.
Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I'll have Blaine on here and maybe ask him some of those questions. It was interesting that, and thank you for the call, Rich. It's interesting that more congresspeople weren't more vocal about this. Now, my guess is every single one of them made their wishes known to this committee. But remember, the people making these decisions in these committees have their own agendas. Maybe they're planning to run for Congress in a particular area, and they need the lines to be such. We don't know that. Bob Onder might know that. But we don't know all of the details on what's motivating this map. But there's got to be more to it than meets the eye. That's at the end of the day, that's one thing for sure. And, you know, we'll keep asking these questions. We're going to get Ann Wagner on here and ask her what input she has on it. I mean, she's got to defend the seat regardless. She's running for reelection, but she's also had a close race 2 years ago, right? Not as close last year, but in these off-year elections, you never know what's going to happen. And that district is turning more purple. There's no doubt about it. And they had a chance to fix that this time, and they declined to, and instead collapsed to the Democrats instead. It's a shame. In a supermajority in Jeff City. All right, stick around. We'll get to the bottom line with Keith Andone coming up at about 8:10. Stacy on the right at 8:35. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.